than the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program tonight, the Bible study from 7:30 to 9, thereabouts. Welcome tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study. Tonight I want to talk about the corrupted preachers, pastors, priests, rabbi, whatever. They're just teaching heresy today. A lot of places. Matter of fact, it's the rule, not the exception. It is the rule. I could actually end it right now. I could say all religions are corrupt. Yep, thank you. Have a good night tonight. That's not enough. Because it's like Satan has picked a smorgasbord of religions and beliefs to pull people away. Depends what you want to believe. He's got something for you. And notice they always find they have enough publicity, workers, to make sure it's put out. Either on bicycles. You know, even in the Protestant, even the Baptist, I know one church sometime, they used to sell hot dogs just to get people on the buses. Find all kinds of ways to get you on. But where is the love of Jesus in all this? Then they got the part about always 10% tithing. Mm-mm. That it's Sunday worship, it's Saturday worship, or no other. Nope. Now, each one of these things I'm talking about right now is about an hour, about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, about the 10% tithing. Family, y'all been lied to. It's not just 10%. It's 20%. It's 5%, 1%. It's whatever God leads you to that moment that he sets you up with a divine appointment. It's not giving 10% of the church every Sunday. Not at all. You trust the Holy Spirit, he'll show you where and how much, and he'll put on your heart. 10% tithing and the Sabbath every Sunday, or Sabbath day, was a Jewish law required before Jesus Christ. They had every requirement. It was a standard set. Jesus fulfilled, didn't abolish now, but Jesus fulfilled the Fourth Amendment. He fulfilled it. It's every day, 7 days a week. And everything you do. But then you take a day, whatever day you want to, whatever day it is, and certainly you take a day that you worship him in how you want. And the church is not four walls in a religion. It's where two or more are gathered in his name. That's a church. They don't tell you all that. Fulfillment of Scripture by Jesus Christ. He didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ became the law. No longer subject to the old law. But didn't abolish it, though. He just fulfilled it. Preachers are not doing their jobs at all. They're not doing it. They're not telling people about the truth about the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. They're not telling them about how great the millennium is going to be. They're not telling them what it takes to separate between the wheat and the tares. They're not telling them that. They're not telling them about eternal hell that exists. They're not telling them, they're telling them only about the love of Christ. Yes, but it's not a complete message that needs to be told. They're not telling them about repentance of sins and all the sins that exist. Like Freemasons in their jester meetings. Yeah. Or the Royal Secret at 33 degree Masons. The Royal Secret. And yet they still go to church. And are deacons, some of them. Keeping secrets from the family. Taking a blood oath against God. To lie for God. Taking an oath in God's name to lie. And to do good deeds to think it's going to gloss over the evil. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. God knows everything. All this is to placate. All this is to hide. Just like Adam tried to hide in the Garden of Eden. Well, tonight I want to talk about, we'll talk about false preachers, false theology, and you do your own research. I'll just give you my information I have on it, and we'll move right along. It's massive. It's absolutely massive. And it's not a surprise, because the Bible says about the great falling away. And it's not going to happen in one day. So all leading up to that day that it does happen has been preparation. You know when the preparation started? Nimrod. Satan didn't waste any time. He saw a weak link in Ham. That weak link, that curse that Noah did to Ham because he saw his nakedness of his father's body. Didn't cover him up. There was a curse there. Boy, it really ticked off Noah. He saw the weak link in Ham. The weak link and the curse went through the generation to Cush. Cush, weak link to Nimrod. There begin the ancient mystery religions. Shamanism, Zoroastrianism, Mithraism. All kinds of isms come out of that. Witchcraft, sorcery, Freemasonry. Alchemy, the whole lot of it. Passed on to the generations as alchemy, witchcraft, ancient mystery schools of religion that Bill Cooper talked about. Not too many people accepting it in the outside, so to speak. So in the 3rd century, they changed it to covered up with Christianity, the Roman Catholic Church. That's why all your holidays are pagan. I said, well, can't let them know that, so we'll call it Christian, but underwritings will be pagan. Mithra, December 25th. Easter, you got that? It's not about a holy day or holiday. It's about every day. That's why the churches fill up on Christmas, Easter, slim during the course of Sundays, unless there's some kind of a disaster, and then all of a sudden everybody goes to church. That's how it works. Satan is 7 days a week, from the time you wake to the time you go to sleep. Preachers aren't warning people about that. And what areas are those? You all know, don't you, my regular listeners? The education, worldwide, philosophy, religions, all religions, science, the arts, politics, and finance. I've got this documented. This is in their own planning. And we give God 1 hour every Sunday, maybe 2 hours if you go to church on Wednesday. And then the holidays are not even of God anyway. They're pretended to be of God, but they're not every holiday. Columbus Day, Valentine's Day, Groundhog Day, Christmas, Easter, every one of them are pagan. Every single one. And there's pagan days that you don't even know about called festivals. And no, they don't sell funnel cakes on these. They pretend to, but they don't. They have human sacrifices that are unbelievably horrific. They don't tell the regular public about this. Except we have a holiday on that day, and you don't go to work or something. But these are all associated with positioning of the stars, and it gets into numerology and the constellations, and when the portals will open of human sacrifice. Let's get down to it. On these particular days, it's positioning of the stars, the solar system, and all that stuff. It's very important to them. They have a small window to act, and they call them holidays. Oof. Boy, let's dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about some religions, about preachers and teachers and all this. And if I fall away or if I make a mistake, you may tell me about it. Tell me about it. I don't know it all by no stretch of imagination, but I do an inordinate amount of research. But then again, everybody does. So whatever, you know the story, but we all share. Nobody knows it all. No way possible. But we stutter ourselves to be approved. Search. Ask questions. Don't just take lessons at face value. Just research them. Ask questions. Challenge whomever. And just because they've written books and Harvard professors or been teaching, it doesn't mean a thing. Because they're starting to turn. They're starting to come out to the New Age movement. So, we've got one more day tomorrow to cover what I don't cover today. But I've got a lot to cover. We'll see how far we get. Lord, thank you tonight. We're able to come together, Father, for a Bible study. Thank you for our network. Lord, thank you for working in our lives to bring our families together. Lord, that sometimes it doesn't work, but Lord, we call upon you with your Holy Spirit to use the influence and use the Holy Spirit to gather together our families, loved ones, friends that, Father, we can share the gospel with. Father, we pray for healing of our families, not only spiritually, but physically, for those that need that healing. Need that touch spiritually, that they're lost, that Father, you bring about divine appointments that we can witness, or maybe after that, Father, the seed is planted, there'll be other divine appointments that will bring them across, bring them over. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and Father, for the Word of God through the King James Bible. Father, we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around us, protect us for any interruptions, and for, Father, to give us the words to speak in the times we have to speak it. We do ask you, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, and if we should become forgetful, that you remind us of those sins, that, Father, we can bring them to you. We pray for our veterans, for their healing, to stop those voices in their heads, Lord. Take those thoughts of suicide away from them. And for those that's not been in the military, Lord, we know that the thoughts of suicide is also coming into them. Father, to give people rest in their hearts, to set up divine appointments for having outpouring of the Spirit. And Father, protecting the children from being these kidnappings and so forth, that, Lord, that for these Wicca sacrifices that's going on, this is a priority of their training, their planning, their what's going on in the background. To expose it, Lord, the human trafficking that's being used for the sacrifice of human beings and prostitution, all these things being used, that, Lord, you'll start exposing it for what it really is. And, Father, for the ones that's doing it. Give strength to our clergymen, our men of God in these cathedrals and churches and synagogues, that, Father, you'll find one of those with courage to step away from the false doctrine and preach the truth. Too much deception. Lord, in these things we pray, Father, to lead us into seeing the end times, that, Father, we can sound the alarm and to be true watchmen, to lead others in the right path and to keep us protected from the false doctrine and from falling away. Keep us humble. And, Father, in your view, these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from this evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Family, when you do the study of these religions, and then a study of preachers, pastors, rabbis, you know, it all comes together. And you wonder how it is that people believe some of this stuff. I mean, some of it doesn't even make sense. But the way they have this organized is massive. It's massive. It's mind-boggling. They have, underneath the control of what's called the Illuminati, they have, under the religious group, they have in groups. They got groups, man. They got groups. Everything is controlled under these groups. Everything in the world. Nothing is separate. I mean, absolutely nothing. You can't name it. I'm not going to go over all of it because this is a Bible study. So I'll just stay with the religion and so forth. But you got Satan, Lucifer at the very top. And it's, they know that. And they connect with him supernaturally. Let me put it like this. In the Bilderberg UN meetings, he's there. They invoke him. He's called Sanat Kumara. Others in the highest level, each level think of him as something else. He actually comes to these meetings. If he doesn't come to the meetings, or El Moria, Saint Germain, Fallen Angels, they invoke, because they don't have enough life force power to bring him in. they channel. Same thing with the Fallen Angels. They do some kind of ritual, invocation, sacrifice, something to bring him in UN meetings. They got a chair there where he manifests or channeled through an individual that's been prepared. You see what I'm talking about? That's where alchemy comes from. Under the Jesuit order, now there's other orders, but the Jesuit order, the Illuminati, you got the Council of 13, the Council of 33, and the Committee of 300, and Bonnot Berth, and Grand Orient, and all that. We got banking and money group, secret society group, they're all there, education group, everything. Intelligence group, all the intelligence agencies, whatever. Political groups, you got all of them, 20 or 30 of them. But religious groups, I'm going to focus on. And in just the religious group alone, they're all connected. World Council of Churches. National Council of Churches. The National Council of Churches used to be called the Federal Council of Churches, created by the Rockefellers in 1908. Yeah. And the Federal Council of Churches in 1936 was identified by Naval Intelligence as being one of the most subversive organizations in the United States. In 1936, no problem. They changed the name to the National Council of Churches. They just changed the name. So if your church is a member of that, ooh la la. So, you see how they do it? We're a parliament of religion, New Age movement, esotericism, Unity Church, Unitarian or Universalist Church, Swedenborg slips into there. There's no hell, they say. You can work your way out. Baha'i, B-A-H-A-I, the Temple of Understanding, the Vatican, Opus Dei, O-P-O-U-S-D-E-I, Roman Catholic Church, Al-Qaeda, your fundamentalist of Islamic, which is created by the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, created the Al-Qaeda groups. Theosophical Society, the Nation of Islam. Islam was created by the Vatican in the 6th century. The Vatican created the religion, you understand? Hamas and Hezbollah, they're all under the religious group of the Illuminati. They're all controlled. So I said, that's weird. And so I went for some other tables of organizations to, I just don't go with one, and I found one that shows a pyramid of organization, and right there it shows the same thing, religion, the intelligence agencies, and another whistleblower or whatever. You know, it's across the board. But they tell you what they're going to do before they do it. They tell you who they are before they, as they're required to do. They just do it in such a way that people don't believe it. There's a I'm going to move out of this here in a minute into something else that is linked up to this. But there's a recently a YouTube video that came out, just like in the next past couple of days, about Weird Al Yankovic, whatever. And he does a parody of sort. And in this parody, you just listen to it, and it's like something silly, whatever. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about the Illuminati. I'm like, what is this? And it just tells you everything they've been telling us in this parody of this Weird Al Yankovic. And he tells you everything in this YouTube video. That's a parody. So what they do is they tell you the truth. They put it in sort of a humorous or sarcastic or satirical type of presentation, so that you'll associate with such. It's something humorous. It's ridiculous. You see? And so you'll associate when you tell people about the Illuminati. Oh, yeah, I heard about that before. That's on that Weird Al Yankovic. He's making fun of it. They downplay it. And that's how they do it. Hide everything out in the front. But associate with fiction or humor or parody or whatever. That's how it's done. Look it up. It's quite funny when you know the story. It's like, wow, man, this is so obvious. Religion. what do they have? But yeah, Kabbalism, Gnosticism, Rosicrucian, witchcraft, sorcery, divination, spiritualism, Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism. Oh, man, Satan has just got a smorgasbord. The Indian Tantras, Taoism, Egyptian Babylonian mythos, the Black Sun. Man, you name it, and they gots it. Living as of today, even as of today, the religions that have come through, the modern day heresies, the Illuminati set up, and what we're dealing with today. What are they? Well, we all hang on because our mother did, our father did, our grandfather, our grandmother, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother, whatever, is family-oriented, not only politically, but religiously. It's a church you've always gone to, I will always go to, and so forth and so on. Oh, really? I was talking today on a broadcast, and I found this quote. That boy just hit the nail on the head, and I thank God for that one. The quote goes like this. It knocked the ball out of the park. It was by Frantz Fanon, F-A-N-O-N. And he says about cognitive dissonance, quote, sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong. When they're presented with evidence that works against the belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that extremely uncomfortable, called cognitive dissonance, D-I-S-S-O-N-A-N-C-E. And because it's so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit with that core belief. Now watch this. Knowing that principle that they've known going all the way back to Adam Weishaupt until today, this is a core belief. What establishes a core belief? What do you know before you're 4 years old? All you know, if you know anything, is you're sucking up embryonic fluid. And some people looking at you say, oh, you're cute, or whatever, or beating you up, or whatever it might be, I don't know. That's all you know. Now, when you get to 5 years old, 6 years old, you start having memory. But see, you don't have memory before 4 or 5 years old, because you're still in the mother's matrix. From the day you're born, that water breaks, you born, to about 4 years old, you don't have any memory. Even though you're outside of the womb, you're still under the mother's matrix of care and protection. About 5 and 6, you start having memories of whatever. You see how it works? Well, they know that principle. And we'll give an example of how they manipulate. Now, some of you, my regular listeners, you've heard me say this before, but now you're going to hear it from a different perspective. Listen to this very carefully. There was a doctor from Harvard University, and it was time to start changing the thinking of the babies of the baby boomers. Baby boomers were under the core belief brought onto them by the mothers of the 1940s and 1930s. The core belief of a family unit, family structure, religious beliefs, so forth and so on. All that, the good stuff, you know, that's supposed to be the proverbial biblical teaching and all that. Patriotism, sovereignty, Bible and all that. So they're targeting the baby boomers and their children to start the chipping away, leading to the Humanist Manifesto. So by the time 1970s, if you're 5 years old, you're teaching, or you're a child of the baby boomers that was born 1950s, 52, 53. They know that. And 1945 began the changeover. You see how it started? New religions, everything. So Dr. Pierce addressed 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado in 1973. Now, that's when I was a college boy, 73. That means I could at one time be married by 75, 76. Or you could be married at 70, 1971. You'd be having a kid about that time. So he's saying this to 2,000 teachers at one time. And, of course, he's Dr. Pierce from Harvard. He's got to be telling the truth, right? So these teachers are going to listen to this quote, and then they're going to go back to their schools and remember it. He said to 2,000 teachers, quote, "Every child in America who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with allegiances toward our elected officials, toward our founding fathers, toward our institutions, toward the preservation of this form of government, patriotism, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future." Ashley Montagu spoke to 1,000 home economic teachers in Anaheim, California. And she said, I quote, "The American family structure produces mentally ill children," unquote. They started developing that cultural belief even back then to change what? The core belief at 5 years old. That's what happened. Well, excuse me. That's what's happening. And to exacerbate it, the change in religions, changes in the Bibles, Harry Potter. Man, we're talking a laundry list of ways to destroy that core belief. Video games, TV, the sports stars are what? Sports stars are not good actors anymore. They have bad sportsmanship. They wear tattoos. Getting you ready for the digital tattoo on the arm. That's what that's all about. They got those funny dances when they score a touchdown. They got fighting on the field. It's all orchestrated and planned out. They want you to see that. It wasn't that way before, was it? It's all good sportsmanship and all that and all this. They had to have it. This is all orchestrated. So, now, we come down to it. Religion. And religion is being moved toward, in very various ways, to fulfill the Humanist Manifesto. That is the true light of Lucifer, is the Humanist Manifesto. So everything is being funneled down to this belief system. So first, you got to destroy the what? The core belief. This is planned generations ahead. And the Rockefellers got control of religion when they started funding Billy Sunday. He was poor. He evangelized millions, several million. He was a great evangelist. Lived out of his car. That's what his house was. Go from tent to tent, place to place. Great, Billy Sunday. The Rockefellers saw this opportunity. Okay, we got to harness this. And they did. They paid his bills. They bought him a car, bought him a house. introduce him to mayors, governors. And to take his place, the Rockefellers and Randolph Hearst fully funded Billy Graham in 1949 through the Laura Spelman Memorial Fund, National Council of Churches, 1949, 1950. So you had a core belief back then of Jesus Christ the Savior and all the true things. And so someone had to come in with that same belief, but then in the right time turn, you see, when the children then became parents and then became grandparents. And before you know it, you got a new culture of kids to raise the next to. As it works, you just chip away little by little, every generation chipping away. That's exactly what's happened. And not accidentally either. Now, what are some of those that we're talking about here? Well, first of all, do our religions teach the same thing? People wonder why we make such a fuss about Jesus Christ and Christianity. Well, Christianity itself is so corrupt, it's not even funny. Do you believe in Christianity? No, I believe in Jesus Christ. And they say, what? I said, yeah, I don't believe in Christianity. I said, well, I got to ask, okay, you asked me, do I believe in Christianity? Well, which sect of Christianity are you talking about? Do I believe in I'm going to inherit a planet like the Mormons do, or Jehovah's Witness that Jesus Christ is nothing but a prophet? Which Christianity are you talking about? Do I believe that you have to be baptized to be saved? If you're not baptized in something, you're not saved, or you have to speak tongues to be saved? Holy Spirit's not in you if you don't. It depends what Baptist church and what corner you go to. Now, I don't believe in Christianity, but I do believe in Jesus Christ. You see what they've done? Woohoo, man, they really, and they put preachers in there that says Jesus here, Jesus there, God here, God there, whatever. That's to get that out of the way. Then you start thinking, oh, he must be a Christian. No, they're not. Freemasons. Or they're pulled in by the 501c3 church that controls them. The tax exempt status. Don't be fooled. Oh, it's just a tax exempt 501c3. No, sir. The government controls the churches perfectly. And you'll find the 501c3 churches have pastors that will follow the New World Order and their dictates. That's why they use the NIV Bible, and you're wondering why. Because they're instructed they will, or they will lose their exempt status, and all kinds of things are going to happen to them. They're threatened in all kinds of ways. A letter you'll never see. People assume that all religions are basically the same. They assume that all faiths are talking about the same thing, but put in a different way. I used to believe that when I was 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old. I said, well, depends on the country. I found out different for sure. I looked at all of them. I said, well, something's not right here. One man gave an illustration. He said, suppose you take 10 men, blindfold them, and lead them to an elephant. And you let each one of them touch a different part of the elephant, the tail, the trunk, ears. And don't tell them what they're touching. You lead them back inside, put them back inside, and take their blindfolds off and tell them to describe what they touched. You think their descriptions are going to agree? Of course not. The man made this observance, and even though there were 10 men that touched the same thing, it didn't agree because they each touched a different part or experienced it from a different angle. So they went on to conclude that isn't it the same Aryan religion, would you not think? Aren't all the different religion groups, the Christians, Muslims, Mormons, Buddhists, experiencing the same God? Yet explaining it in different ways. That's what the preachers today are saying, that doesn't matter what world you come from. It's what Billy Graham said. It's what Shuler agrees with. Oprah. Good gracious, all of them. David Wilkerson hung out. He stayed away from them. That's why he was murdered. He wouldn't bow down to them. He is preaching strong, strong repentance, strong in being born again, strong scripture. They couldn't have someone like that run around. Not now. So God let him take him. God brought him back home. He'll be back. Jesus Christ will lead the way. But in the meantime, they can't, they all be true, but each given a different emphasis. Problem is this. The illustration is identifying the elephant with God. You're assuming that all these people, because there's so many, are experiencing the same God. When in fact, that's not true. Christianity, Islam, cannot both be true at the same time. And the different sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Christianity can all be the same either. People don't describe that. I don't hear that too many times. They separate and say Christianity versus Islam or whatever. But Christianity is so divided up. Islam, Buddhism, that's completely different. But they all can't be true at the same time. You know, even an atheist said that. Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell, an atheist, very significant influence in our education system. He said, all religions can be false, but only one could ever be true. He's actually right. Mormonism, Buddhism, both be correct at the same time, nor can Christian Science and Hinduism. You see, all religions cannot be true at the same time, because they teach many different things completely, and sometimes opposite from each other. They all may be wrong, but certainly they all cannot be right. For the claims of one will exclude the other. Or is it that God is schizophrenic? Is God a liar? Is God playing favorites? No. So something is not right here. And all the Bibles that's produced, all the books that's put out there, you can actually destroy them. In other words, you trace them backwards to their origin. No, go forwards to it. Go backwards. Take the NIV. Start in July of 2014. And say, well, go back when it first was invented, created, written. 1970s or something. That eliminates the NIV Bible. Keep going back. How about the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Bible, all of them. As soon as you find the origin of it, it destroys it. So now you get the King James. Oh, and you're probably saying, now what you do? Yeah, it's simple. It goes in a different direction, in its own stream. It separates itself from all the other Bibles. If you go back to 1604, you'll find that it came from a collection of 5,000 documents, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, English. The other Bibles, they are older. But now you get to something that I think you will need to hear. It's what they all say in the Harvard and other places. And even Christians say this. I've had a Baptist minister say, well, we have older works. They're talking about the Septuagint, 3rd century. They try to tell you the Septuagint is 285 B.C. That Paul copied the Septuagint. So it was written before Paul, so Paul wasn't inspired. He copied the Septuagint, but that's not true at all. Septuagint is a 3rd century by Origen, a Greek philosopher in ancient Alexandria, Egypt. Okay, so it's older. Mm-hmm, yeah. But that's where they stop. I don't stop there. What I found out was Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher, who's really exalted by the Catholic Church. He's one of the church fathers, along with Eusebius and Augustine and Jerome and whatever. But old Origen, O-R-I-G-E-N, around the 3rd century, obtained copies of the copies of the original manuscripts from Antioch, like 100 A.D. or 90 A.D., and they came from the actual authors, you know, John, Mark, Luke, you know. And so scribes copied perfectly, passed them on, and they collected them in Antioch, Syria, made copies of copies, but perfectly transcribed, took them to different places throughout the Middle East, of which Origen got a copy. That's where they came from. That's why they say they're older. So here's your comeback. It's not the age of the transcript. It's the source of inspiration. The age don't make it more accurate. As a matter of fact, 1870s, this was the exact argument by Westcott and Hort to convince the committee to update the Bibles to be the basis of the modern Bibles today, was that this, they found older scriptures and they were more accurate because they were older. Wrong. But the committee was convinced. Westcott and Hort, two warlocks ordained, and they were two Freemasons at the same time, convinced the committee. That's what happened. Therefore, you got your NIV, your New American Standard Bible, your ESV, all that comes from that. As to matters of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, only historic Christianity will recognize him as eternal God, becoming a man who died for the sins of the world, arose again the third day, and salvation is obtained only by putting one's trust in this one named Jesus. But the Jesus of Islam is not the Son of God who died for the sins of the world. Neither is he the Jesus of Mormonism or Christian Science or Jehovah's Witness or the same Jesus as revealed in the Bible. Not the same as one revealed in the Bible. You know, salvation is not by grace and through faith in these religions, but a matter of works. So, it's pretty much observed that we're dealing with different religious ideas entirely. They're not compatible with one another even. And you know when you have Bible study and everybody's sitting around reading their, you know, or everybody, you have 10 people, okay? So you say everybody's sitting around, everybody look up scripture, Matthew 17:21, or they give you some scripture. Okay, John, can you read it for us? Okay, I will. All right, so John reads it and everybody's following along, right? Well, he's reading these words, A, B, C, D, but that's not what everybody's reading. New American Standard might say something different. NIV might say something different, which they do. You're like, wow, it's not the same thing I'm getting. Okay, so that subconsciously takes away your confidence that this Bible's really the same. That's how they do that. It's tricky. So, what are some we talking about here then? Some examples. I think I'm going to pick on Shepherd's Chapel and Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists. We'll see how far we get. Baptists too, man. Baptists. You've got the First Baptist Church. Everybody just sits there, nice coat and tie, whatever, and preacher gives you nice little warm speeches and I don't know what, and not every church now. You have some churches that independently preach hellfire and brimstone, but man, they are slow. They are little few of them left. Had a Baptist minister tell me in front of his family, well, Tom, you really, you know, the King James, we like it. We use it a lot. It's my favorite one. I hate it when they say that because I know what's coming every time. But you know, if you really want to know a lot of what the truth is, you need to read the Hebrew and Greek. I've had this told me more than one time. And then I had one preacher tell me, well, we have older scripture we found. And these are coming from Baptist ministers that you're proverbially supposed to be, you know, King James only, whatever. And some of them are King James only, and they still say that. My comeback on that one was, you telling me that 7 billion people have to learn Hebrew and Greek to learn God's word? He didn't like that. Woohoo! And I told the other preacher, I said, well, it's not the age, it's a source of inspiration. He got a little impatient too. And why did they get impatient? Why did they say, well, you know, you got a point there? Because there's a point. I got to learn Hebrew and Greek. I don't think so. You take the King James Bible, like they're doing, and you translate it into Hebrew. You translate it into Swahili, or translate it into Chinese, or whatever. Because the King James is the only true word of God. So that's what you translate. That's the book. And boy, they're fighting that tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. What is the sign of the end of times? You know, God's language is Hebrew. Satan's language is Latin. The Bible was given to the Gentiles to bring to mankind because the Jews failed. So it was passed to the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles. It's in the Bible, man. It's in the Bible. What are the Gentiles? Well, went to Greek. Greek went to English. English just happens to be the only international language in the world. Acknowledged. Okay, here's my point. Hebrew is God's language. Not the jibber-jabber they're speaking in Israel today. That's gibberish. You see, with the return of the nation of Israel, hadn't returned yet. It's not complete yet. God used the fake Jews over there today. Sorry, but yep. Because they signed an agreement. They convened a covenant with the Antichrist. That's yet to happen. And boy, they're going to start their sacrifices. That's a slap in God's face. Not good. Really bad. First seal. So that's not Israel of the Bible. But God's used that to set up a place for them to go. It's not complete yet. So, with return of the nation of Islam, with return of Israel, the real Israel, with the real Hebrews, 144,000, the ancient Hebrew language will be revived. It will become the official language of the state, the old Hebrew. But before that happens, before this taking place, the Jews have been speaking an impure language called Yiddish. A return to the pure common language is happening, was predicted by the prophets. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 to 10. Quote, Zephaniah, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplants, even the daughter of my dispersed, that's Israel, shall bring mine offering, unquote. There it is, man. Back to Hebrew. So if the Jews had completed what they're supposed to have done, Hebrew would be a universal language. But they didn't do it. That's Zephaniah 3, 8 to 10. There it is. Now, what are they teaching today? Man, the only problem decision here I got to make is which one to go to, because there's so many. Shepherd's Chapel, Arnold Murray. Ooh, it's a big one. Matter of fact, that came up today. The Shepherd's Chapel is growing. It's linked up to Christian Identity. Christian Identity is linked up to KKK and Aryan Nation and Westboro Baptist Church. I found links to all of them. James Dobson, Christian Identity, Family Research Council, Fred Phelps, Butler. Oh, man, they're all connected. They're all connected together. The Shepherd's Chapel has many unorthodox doctrines. You can listen to him sometimes, but I heard him say, actually, in one of his studies, his words. I didn't read this. I heard him say it. I watched him. His mouth moved. The words came out. You don't have to read the Bible. Just listen to me. That's classic cult development. It's unorthodox. They deny the Trinity and teaches that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are really three offices helped by the one God. On their website it says, we believe in the God of the Bible, Exodus 3, 6 to 14. Unfortunately, it's completely insufficient as an explanation, since it doesn't affirm the Trinity, nor does it deny modalism or polytheism. They deny the existence of eternal hell. That contradicts the Bible's teaching. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Matthew 25, 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. They deny the doctrine of the rapture. So everybody's arguing. I think it's pre-trib. I don't believe in pre-trib. I believe in mid-trib. No, it's post-trib. Back and forth, back and forth. I pick number six. I don't know trib. Don't know trib. I don't know when the tribulation is. I'm sorry. I don't know when the rapture is. Whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post, pre-wrath, post-trib. Number five. That'd be number five, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah, number six. No trib. No rapture. I'm getting confused. So they believe the rapture is pre-tribulation. That's LaHaye. The books left behind. And Hal Lindsey and all that. Then you got the rapture mid-tribulation. That's 3.5 years into the 7 years. And alongside that, you got the pre-wrath before the first trumpet rapture of the tribulations. Then you got the post-rapture, post-tribulation rapture, because they call it the last trump. Then he has said, no rapture. Well, I believe in number six. I don't know rapture. Have not a clue when. Well, you're not going to be here for the wrath of God on this planet. You're not appointed to wrath. That's in the Bible. So, you're discussing between the first seal and the seventh seal. He's taken you out. He took Noah out. Sodom and Gomorrah took Lot out. He protects those who follow him. But you read the Bible, you're going to see it's pretty close to the fifth, sixth, seventh seal. There is a rapture, but we don't know when. They deny the doctrine of the rapture totally. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall be always with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Who are those that's dead in Christ shall rise first? Those are the ones that died and their bodies are cremated. Their bodies are in the ground or bodies in the ocean. Their bodies are there. But remember, their souls are in heaven. Then he brings the body that translates it into, like it did Enoch, and brings it, marries it up with the soul and the spirit. Your body's back with you. Then those are still alive through the tribulation period. Your bodies will be changed like Enoch was. Not like Lazarus. Lazarus still died later. But Enoch, no. Or Elijah. And you also hear it where you're not appointed to wrath. So that, the wrath of God, he's not going to let you be born again. Now say, now you're going to endure my wrath. No. And the trumpet of God, that's the trump for the rapture. It's not the seventh trumpet. It's not, well, it could be the first maybe, but the trumpet of God is a separate trumpet. They deny the physical resurrection of believers. We will be raised spiritually. They deny the physical resurrection, and clearly, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 talks about those that are asleep in Christ will rise first. That's the bodies. Cremation is simply accelerating the to dust part. They teach annihilation. Non-existence after death for sinners. Man, annihilation is reward. It's not punishment. You see what that's doing? I'm going to be annihilated, so I'm going to live it up while I can. Because when I die, I don't care anyway. I don't like this whole world, but I want to enjoy my life, do my bucket list and all this and all that. Because when I die, yeah, the preacher told me, man, I just go into nothingness, which I don't care anyway. I don't want to be up there harps and all that stuff. That's why I've heard that. No, they're not understanding. When you die, you go to hell eternally, separated from God. For eternity, man, that's a long, long, long. I can't say enough longs to make it up. They teach annihilation. Is that evil or what? Universalism by Swedenborg says you can work your way out of hell. The Shepherd's Chapel teach certain Old Testament kosher laws regarding meat should be followed. You know what the Bible says. Teaches a serpent seed doctrine where Eve had literal sexual relations with a serpent. That's where Cain come from, they say. They're using Genesis 4, verse 1. I've gotten a man from the Lord, Eve says. She didn't say, I've gotten a man child, or gotten a man, or gotten a kid, gotten a baby, a male baby. No, I've gotten a man from the Lord, because she had her first baby that became, she saw it was a male, a man. So she said, I got a man from the Lord. Well, they try to interpret that saying, I've got me a man from the Lord. I got me a man. I got me an angel here, baby. That's what they're trying to get people to believe. That she had sex with Satan, and they're trying to say that Satan and Cain, the son of Satan, his mark was he turned black. You see, they're racist also, by the way, because that's where the KKK comes from, an Aryan nation. Need I say more? Serpent seed doctrine is wrong. So the offspring of Eve's impregnation resulted in Cain. And so eating the fruit of the tree, guess what that was? It was no fruit, no tree. They say it was the sex between the serpent and Eve. That was the taking the knowledge of good and evil thing going on, but that don't hold water at all. The taking the fruit of the tree was exactly that. This tree, everything else you can eat, tree of life, that's it. Worship me. That's all I ask. But he had to give a gospel. He had to give something of choice. But that tree right there, you see that tree? Adam. Look. You see that tree? Don't eat of that tree, boy. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Won't do you any good anyway. He didn't listen. He had to give a choice. He had to give the gospel. That was the first gospel. But he gave him free will. Double-edged sword. See what happened? But God already knew that. To have unconditional love, you have to have free will. And you can't have free will unless you got a choice. There you have it. But he already knew what the choice was going to be. He already knew what was going to happen. That's called the prophecy of the Bible. That's why Jesus Christ was prophesied 365 times in the Old Testament, saying you got a Messiah coming. God was preparing for that. You see how that worked? That was the blood sacrifices of animals anticipated the return of Messiah, or the coming of Messiah. Blood of the Lamb. That's why they did the blood sacrifices. No more sacrifices after he became Messiah. So them starting the sacrifices again at the first seal. Now you see, that's denying Jesus as Savior. And then you're denying him on the cross. This is some serious stuff, man. This is deep. Then they really get in this Kenite thing, man. Kenites up their nose. The Kenites are the tares of the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. They really get in this Kenite thing. That's another thing you could beat to death. The Kenites. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Oh, goodness gracious alive. Man, they get off on that Kenite stuff. And that's not something you're going to try to build your kitchen up with, Kenites. They say they're the tares of the parable. Those Kenites. So, the serpent seed doctrine is what sticks out. That's the big thing right there. It's part of the Christian identity. Man, they're getting big too. They call it national identity today. Does that sound a little bit like Nazism? Says that they connect the church and politics. They tell everybody else, don't be doing that. You can't mix politics and religion. Yeah, they don't want to do that because they don't want you connecting the dots, is why. So the Kenite thing is linked up to the serpent seed doctrine. It's descendants of Cain. Are called the Kenites. Abel, result of Adam and Eve having relations. Abel was the fraternal twin of Cain. Oh, they got it all worked out. The Kenites, according to Mr. Murray here, must be exposed. We must continue to teach who the Kenites are, says Mr. Murray, 1994. He stated the Kenites survived the flood. Ooh, what a lie. He denies a global flood even, and are found the lineage of Israel, not Judah. Eventually, the Kenites permeated the nation of Israel, are the ones who shouted, crucify him, in reference to Jesus. They talk about an attempt to get biblical support. Murray states at Genesis 3, verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and that shall bruise his heel. They refer that God says, thy seed is Satan. He's referring to the Kenites, the descendants of Cain, which were produced through the literal seed of Satan, they say. Well, he's wrong. Dead wrong. We don't really know exactly what form Satan was in the garden. It says reptile, snake, which they could take, actually. Some kind of serpent of some sort. Nakesh, which means serpent or snake, is the word for it. But this serpent seed doctrine is easily refuted when you examine Genesis 4 and 1. So, the Bible clearly says that who the father of Cain is, Adam, the serpent seed area, is wrong, absolutely wrong. It's quite interesting, the study. They said the And what they don't realize, and certainly what is true, is Satan's fallen angels did impregnate women about the time of Noah. That's one thing they've got right. Is if Satan's fallen angels did impregnate women, the sons of God were the fallen angels. They don't believe in interracial marriage. Actually, neither does God. He believes us all working together, but he divided all the cultures. But they take it to another level. They don't understand the purpose of the division of the cultures. So they lean it toward this racist issue. They use that as a vehicle to establish racism. But God did separate us all. And there's all one culture in the time of Noah. All the way to Cush, to Nimrod, was one culture. There wasn't divided cultures. They're all one. And one language. If they weren't one language, why did he divide the languages? He wouldn't have had to. Huh? How about that? If God divided the languages, well, if they're already divided, he wouldn't have to do that. But they weren't. They were all one language, one culture. Now, I explained today a little bit, I think, for some folks that caught it, that when everybody divided, separated, moved away to different areas throughout that one land called Earth, when God divided the lands, they're put in different locations of the Earth. The ley lines had an effect on the DNA structure over a period of generations. Exactly how he divided the land is not really said, whether he actually physically moved it supernaturally or raised the water table, it's hard to say, but it's pretty obvious he divided it. And certainly that they couldn't have used little cutout logs to go different places. So they were already there when God divided the land around Genesis 10:25, during the period of Preleg, 10 generations after Noah. So God divided us. Satan's trying to bring us back together. The racist, from the division, they're trying to cause strife and interracial, racial hatred. That's not supposed to be that at all. They believe being born again is to enter the body from a spiritual body of another age. I ain't got to tell you about that one. That's pretty obvious. They believe that America and Britain are the lost tribes of Israel. Oh, goodness. They believe that people were alive in a pre-existent world. They were all former angels. They believe the earth age was prior to Adam, where a race of people lived. But it clearly says in the Bible that Adam was the first man. Clearly it says. But they say that's the first race of the corrupted and cursed Jews. And man was created, Genesis 1, before Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve was created, Genesis 2, was a separate creation. But Genesis 1 says man was created. Genesis 2 gives you detail. And Job gives you more detail about the creation of man. So according to Arnold Murray, only the Jews that come under Adam and Eve were the cursed ones. See what they've done? Satan is a literal being. Jesus will return. Jesus will set up a future millennial kingdom. And the Bible is the inerrant word of Almighty God. Now that's some of the beliefs. And a lot of these beliefs here go along with the other type of Christian manipulations, if you will. Then you got Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this sect, known today, started out in Pennsylvania in 1870. Charles Taze Russell. And that Russell, that boy got around. Russell is Illuminati, one of the 13 families on the outside portico. Like the Bundys. Mm-hmm. No, not the ones on TV. Come on now. How about Jane Russell? Illuminati. Now you get it? Whoa, man. So, Bible class led by Charles Taze Russell. If you look at his tombstone, is it a pyramid or an obelisk on his tombstone? Anyway, he's all Illuminati. Now, right there is a fox in the hen house. And a wolf in the parlor. He named his group the Millennium Dawn Bible Study. And Charles T. Russell, he started writing a series of books called The Millennial Dawn. That stretched out over 6 volumes. And before his death, and what it did was it contained a lot of theology that the Jehovah's Witnesses held. Russell died in 1916. And Judge J.F. Rutherford, that was Russell's friend and successor, actually. He wrote the 7th and the actual final volume of the Millennial Dawn. That series, The Finished Ministry. So in 1917, which is an interesting year, that was the same year that John Dewey was helping plan the extraterrestrial menace. Oh, yeah, John Dewey, 1917. See, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society was founded around mid-1880s. And so the Millennial Dawn then moved through that movement and distributing their materials out to people. So then they were known as the Russellites. That was until 1931. So a split occurred and it was renamed Jehovah's Witnesses. The group which split from it became the Bible Students, they called themselves. So I'll send out a application. Y'all can become the Gambleites. Yeah, so stop. Okay. Family, this is crazy stuff. This is nuts. What are you? A Calvinist? What are you? I'm a Lutheran. No, man, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I ain't none of those. None of them. You know. Christian's not about being Christianity. Christian's about worshiping Jesus. I'm a Christian. Not Christianity. You get my point here? So what they believe, they have, if you look at their doctrine, the deity of Christ, the salvation, the Trinity, here we go again, Holy Spirit. The atonement shows beyond a doubt that they don't hold to Orthodox Christian belief. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. Now, what's interesting is the New Agers have another Michael, the archangel, too. Now, I want to see how that works in with Sanan Emanuel. That ought to be an interesting study there. That Jesus, Michael, the archangel, and Sanan Emanuel, Maitreya, Krishna, Bodhisattva, are all the same one. Ooh. He's the highest created being, according to them. Well, that contradicts many scriptures that clearly show and declare that Jesus is to be God. If you're writing them down, John 1, 1 and John 1, 14. I use eSword. That works really well. Also very quick. eSword. Well, we're almost, what happened to time already? May not get to Seventh-day Adventist today. But you got Charles Taze Russell, Ellen G. White, Seventh-day Adventist, worship Saturn publicly with husband James White. Man, they're all connected together. You know, Helena Blavatsky met Albert Pike when he was older. And all these people been meeting each other. Well, if they had Match.com back then, never mind. But in any case, this is some serious stuff. What did I say? John 1:14. John got around, didn't he? John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That tells you right there the Word became flesh, right? Well, how about this? 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. It tells you. The Father. The Word. Oh, the Word was made flesh. Ah, I got it. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Period. You know, some of the other Bibles, they don't say that. They say, for there are three that bear record. Stop. Three what? It don't tell you. King James does, though. How about that for a hoot? Jehovah's Witnesses also believe salvation is obtained in a combination of faith and good works and obedience that contradicts countless scriptures, which declare salvation is received by grace through faith. John 3:16. Oh, I got to look at that again. John 3:16. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, and Titus 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and John 3, 16. For God so loved the world. Okay. Jehovah's Witnesses reject the Trinity. Ah, that sounds familiar. Believe Jesus to be a created being and Holy Spirit to be essentially the inanimate power of God. Jehovah's Witnesses also reject the concept of Christ's substitutionary atonement. He substituted the atonement. He became sin. In other words, and instead held to a ransom theory that Jesus' death was a ransom payment for Adam's sin. Phew. Very much unbiblical. So, how do they justify this relative to what the Bible really says? They actually claim that the church corrupted the Bible over the centuries. Clever. They've retranslated the Bible into what they call the New World Translation. There you go. Had someone tell me today that this is one of the best translations there is. I said, says who? That was just this afternoon. Said the King James Bible had over 50 revisions. Say what? I'm like, what? You got to be kidding, man. They got the 0 and 5 kind of reversed on them. Maybe these glasses were upside down. You know, there people, I can't, don't they, I've studied, they always tell you, I'm getting excited. They always tell you, I'm a Bible student, I'm a Bible teacher. I've studied the Bible for 30 years. They give you a number, a name or something, some years. I've written five, you know, they always give you this. Like, so what? Then you should have learned something. I wouldn't embarrass myself. I mean, Vacation Bible School, you know better than that. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society altered the text of the Bible to make it fit their false doctrine. Rather than basing their doctrine on what the Bible really teaches, the New World Translation has gone through numerous editions. And they start finding themselves that more and more scriptures contradict their doctrines. And the Watchtower based its belief on the doctrines of the original and expanded teachings of Charles Taze Russell, Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford, and those who succeeded them. And there's a governing body of sort that I think the Mormons have the same thing. Of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and is the only body in the cult that claims authority to interpret Scripture. Does that not sound a little familiar? When the Catholic Church could only speak Latin, Satan's language, and everybody else could speak not Latin, and so the Bible was in Latin. So guess who translated it? And yeah, to the people. 1647, the Old Deluders Act, to establish education so people could read the Bible. That was the beginning of education. So the Catholic Church speaks in Latin, and the Bible is written then, the corrupted versions, in Latin. Said something like, you don't have to read the Bible, just listen to us. Yeah, man. Hoopla. So, there you go. Nothing new under the sun. Well, I can certainly see tomorrow. So, here we go. In other words, what the governing body says concerning any scriptural passage is viewed as the last word. Independent thinking is strongly discouraged. That's Illuminati. No independent thinking. Does that sound familiar? It's in direct opposition of Paul's admonishment to Timothy and to us as well. Study to be approved by God, so we need not be ashamed as we correctly handle the Word of God. The admonition, admonishment, found in 2 Timothy 2:15, is clear instruction from God to each of us to be like the Berean Christians. Search the Scriptures daily to see if the things that were being taught lined up with the Word. Well, you're not supposed to judge. Not judging. Correcting, rebuking, learning. Judging, they got it mixed up, is judging moral character, behavior. Well, we can't do that. That's God's business. But we can rebuke, correct any doctrinal talk doctrine outside the Bible. Bible says this, they say that. I'm going to tell you wrong, boy. Why? Because you read that scripture, you know what you're saying. It's clear. There's probably no religious group that's more faithful than Jehovah's Witnesses at getting their message out. They're good, man. Whoo, they send you letters when you have a death in the family. They have bicycles going around knocking on your doors. Man, they are out there, let me tell you what, all over. But, unfortunately, the message is full of distortions, deceptions, and false doctrine. You pray that God opens the eyes of them to the truth of the gospel, the true teaching of God's word. Same thing for Freemasons. Open up their eyes. Same thing for Christians. Open up their eyes. They're led to see in church. Maybe that's where they got the word lazy. Led to see in lazy. I don't know. Well, I'm not innocent by no stretch. It's, you know, I mean, to force ourselves to read the Bible and get down there and get into it. Sometimes you find excuses not to, or, you know, or you get led away somehow or another, falling away, falling back. I've done it several times. But God started hammering me. I don't know, you know. He had to really get my attention. He did. Oh, he did. He got my attention. Yep, he did. He got my attention. Now, tomorrow night, remind me, we'll talk about witnessing, give an example, witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. We'll talk about that. And that you could use the same kind of approach to others. I want to talk a little bit about Seventh-day Adventists. We'll just keep on going. Definitely Word of Faith. That's Copeland, Joyce Myers, T.D. Jakes, Brazier Dollar, all those guys in TBN. We'll talk about, oh yeah, we got to talk about that. Word of Faith. Oh goodness, ooh la la. And Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, we'll cover those three. If them. It's not about religion, any of them. No religion. I mean, none. Not even Christianity. It's about Jesus Christ. About Jesus Christ. So, let's close in prayer. And we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock to 6 in the broadcast. And remind you that we are played up in highportradio.net. That's highportradio.net. John Kirkler. He plays us randomly at his station, three towers he's got, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. And my website is watchforjesus.com. I've got my archives there. I'll have these up, broadcast and Bible study by tonight. And my Facebook is watchforjesus. Send me messages there if you'd like to. So y'all have a good night. Lord, we thank you tonight for having a Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for leading us. Father, to keep us humble. And Father, to guide us in the right path. Father, we call upon you to help our families, bring them back together. And for healing within our family groups, families, those falling away, that Father, you'll touch and bring them back in. Father, we pray for the churches today, that they'll have strong leaders to come out, start preaching the truth. And exalt the King James Bible, Lord, and keep us ready for those times to come, the end. Father, we have more Bible studies coming up, and protect us with the blood of Jesus. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, now, y'all come back now here tomorrow. And any comments, let me know, recommendations. Or I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, the times from 4 to 6 to 5 to 7. It's crossing my mind. And Bible study from 8 to 9, 1 hour every night. So if you've got any comments or recommendations about that or thoughts, we seem to gain more attention at on the 4 to 6 starting at 5 o'clock. Seems like maybe because people are getting off work. I don't know. And I may not change it at all. But this is in my head right now. So anyway. So you'll have a good night. And do study. Get in the habit. Because, you know, we get out of the habit of it. And I think now is coming around the supernatural events. Signs of the times are approaching. You see it every day in the articles. It's hard to keep up with the articles. To see how it's changing around. Anyway, y'all have a good night. God bless. This is your watchman. Signing off for tonight.
Till on that cross that Jesus died. From a grave.